Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Elevate with CNM Coaching. My name's Maggie. Thank you so much for joining us here today. So I was just going through my list of podcast topics, and I cannot believe that I have not done a topic on calling internet leads and like basic overall follow-up. So I thought, let's talk about that today. And that'll kind of help me help a lot of people who are always asking questions about lead follow-up, because how you follow up with your leads and when you follow up with your leads does make a big difference and impact your ability to sell X amount of cars. So let's talk about what we want to do when we have fresh leads. So first, let's establish, what do we consider a fresh lead? So a fresh lead is going to be somebody who has gone to your website and submitted an inquiry, either on a vehicle or they've done an application. It also could be someone who picks up the phone and calls into the store. And it could be somebody who physically stops by and visits the lot. These are all considered fresh leads. So let's first go over the internet leads. So you receive an internet lead, it comes into your website. The first thing you want to do is call the customer. That's always going to be step one. Now, there's a lot of debate about calling versus texting, and I did a podcast on this a while ago. You will never change my mind that calling the customer first is your best path. I'm not saying that people don't want to buy cars via text. I'm saying your best bet at creating a relationship, establishing rapport, getting information out of the customer, and really creating that first stepping stone into a sale is going to happen much easier via phone than it is via text. When you're texting, you don't have things like voice inflection to be able to assist you. And everybody knows that words and emotions can get twisted via text. It's really easy for somebody to think that you are being negative when you're not, or just totally misunderstand or misinterpret tone via text. So let's use the phone. So ideally, call your customer within 15 minutes. Now, obviously, the sooner you call them, the better. I want you to think about yourself as a consumer. When you're buying something, how do you do it? What's the first thing that you usually do? For me, I go to Google. And I'm going to look at the place of business. I'm going to look at their Google reviews. I'm going to look at their hours, their address. I'm probably going to look at a couple of pictures. So be mindful of those things when you build your own Google page. Make sure that the reviews that are there aren't awful. And if they are, that you've responded to them professionally. Make sure you have nice photos, professional photos, and make sure they look good and inviting, and that your place of business looks like a place that you personally would want to walk into and buy a car from. You know, I've been to all kinds of dealerships. I've been to ones that are in trailers. I've been to big fancy ones, the number one Chevrolet dealership in Ohio. I've been there where it's like you walk in and you feel like you're in a really fancy shopping mall. So make sure that if you have photos that they look pretty good. You don't want pictures of, you know, junk cars parked out front, your lawn isn't mowed, things like that. Keep them professional. And then look at your website itself. So again, pretend you're a consumer. Go to your website, look at your inventory, and then think about what happens when you yourself personally want to buy a car. If you're going to submit a request for information, you're partially committed at this point. You're taking that leap to share your personal contact information with a third party, in this case, a dealership. What happens after you submit that inquiry? Do you just like throw your phone across the room and walk away? Do you go take a nap? Like, what are we doing afterwards? Most of the time, we're back to Google and searching something else. Or we're still on the same website looking at other things, like maybe an About Us tab, looking over the staff that might be there, additional inventory, reviewing the application, frequently asked questions, addresses, hours, things like that. So what this tells you is that most likely if you call that customer within 5 minutes, they're still going to have their phone in their hand, or they're still going to be sitting at their desk or their laptop or their tablet looking over your website. So the faster you call, the better, obviously. Once you get that customer on the phone, use that first opportunity to really nail it. We really don't want to have to make a bunch of follow-up phone calls. And if you handle the first call correctly, you shouldn't have to. But what happens if that person doesn't answer? Leave them a message. So the first thing that you're going to want to do is leave a good, clear voicemail. There's a few things I recommend doing during voicemails, and I did do another podcast on this, but I'll briefly go over them. The first is clearly indicate who you're looking to speak with, your name, and where you're calling from. The second thing is state some reason for calling. You know, I received your inquiry and I wanted to connect with you. I received your inquiry and I have some questions for you. I'm like to help you regarding the inquiry we received. Something along those lines. Give them a reason of why you're calling, but don't answer the questions. If their question was, what's the mileage on this truck? Don't leave a voicemail with that information. Otherwise, you're literally creating no reason for them to need to call you back. After you've indicated why you've called, leave your contact information. And then one of the most important things here is indicating when you plan to follow up if the customer doesn't call you back. So for example, if I don't hear back from you by the end of the day today, I'll try to give you a call again tomorrow. Lastly, I do encourage repeating your contact information a second time just because cell phones are a pain in the rear. I can tell you this week, I have Verizon and my cell phone has been all over the place. I'm not receiving text messages in a timely manner. I have to turn the internet off and then I'll get like 40 text messages all at once. This type of stuff happens to people. So leave your information and your phone number two times. One more thing as just a side note, cross-check your caller ID. Call your own cell phones. Make sure that your caller ID clearly states the name of your business and that it doesn't say private name, it doesn't say unknown name, or it doesn't say another business. You want to make sure that it's your actual business. If you have to leave a message, then as soon as you hang up, send the customer a text. Hey, this is Maggie from ABC Motors. I received your inquiry. I was hoping that we could connect. What's a better time for me to reach you via phone and send? This is, of course, making sure that you have your customer already opted into text messages. And as I've said 1,000 times, please make sure that you are using actual text messaging software and not using personal cell phones. We don't want anyone to get sued. Now, let's just assume for a second you've left this message and the customer doesn't call you back. Now, what do you do? Well, I would recommend if it's early in the day that you call them again later that same day. So let's say their lead came in around 10:30 in the morning. If you haven't heard from them by about 4 or 5, I would try them again just before you leave. Do not leave more than one voicemail per day, but you can call again. One of the techniques that I've seen stores use is call from a different phone number. I don't know how many outbound lines you have at the store, but that's another option that you have. Sometimes it works to get them to answer the phone, but don't use personal cell phones. But try to call back later that same day. Don't leave a message. If they don't answer, just hang up. And if they have opted into text messages, but they have not responded to your first text message, I would consider sending the customer an email. Same sort of concept. Hey, I called you earlier this morning. I left you a message and sent you a text. I just tried you again now. There was no answer. You know, you can feel free to respond to my email, my text message, or give me a call back at X. I'll try you again tomorrow morning. And then what I would do is the next day, try to mix it up a little bit. So yesterday you called them around 10:30 and then we called them again around 4 o'clock and we sent them a text message around 10:35. So let's mix it up. Let's call around 3 o'clock, but maybe send a text message at noon. You know, just mix up your methods of communication, but try at least twice, a minimum of twice, per day for the first 3 days. Now, I don't recommend leaving more than one voicemail. Again, you know, unless you're playing phone tag with the customer, leaving more than one voicemail is a little bit unnecessary. They got the first one, highly likely. So just try to reach out to the customer at least twice a day for the first 3 days. And I do recommend that you rotate the times that you're contacting the customer. A lot of times I'll talk to people about unsold follow-ups and you find out they do these calls every day at noon. Well, if your customer hasn't answered for the first 7 days at noon, what makes you think calling them on day 8 at noon is going to help you? Because you want to be mixing up these methods of communication and the times. So just try to see, you know, what you can do with working through that and always try to call them at least twice a day for the first 3 days. Now, after that, it's kind of up to you how you want to proceed. After 3 days, either they're not interested, they spent the money if you're a buy here, pay here store, they don't have the down payment anymore, or they've bought from somewhere else. So at this point in time, I would still try to call them at least up until day 7, but I would back off how many times a day you're contacting them while continuing to still rotate your methods of communication and your times of day that you reach the customer. And just make sure that when you're sending text messages and making phone calls that you don't forget about email. Email is sometimes a really great way to get your value statement off to your customer. And one of the things that you can do, say you give back to your community. Like, I've worked with a lot of dealerships that do adoption drives for the local animal shelter, or they donate a specific proceeds to, you know, the library or the high school or whatever it might be, a food pantry. If you do things like that, video is a great way to get that message across to the customer. And using your email to convey these messages to the public is one of the best ways you can not only build a good reputation within your community, but also help pique a customer's interest to make them feel like you are a good person and a good partner to potentially do business with. So don't forget, you can use email for marketing in those instances, and you can also ask for referrals. Even if you didn't sell this person a car, if you have a good solid referral program, put that together in a video or type up a really good email that looks clean but has all the information needed for a customer to feel enticed to refer someone to you. Now, once your 7 days are up, and this is going to apply for all types of leads, I still suggest putting this customer on a rotation. Your follow-up rotation is going to depend on a couple of things, like what the customer situation was, what they were experiencing, and what happened with your communication. If you absolutely never, ever even spoke to the person, you could probably put them on a 3 or a 6 month follow-up rotation. If you spoke to them, but it was like a iffy situation, or perhaps they maybe just didn't have the money right now, then maybe you want to put them on a 30-day follow-up rotation. Either way, set up a task to follow up with those customers, or if you don't have a CRM, put it in your Google Calendar to remind yourself to follow up with this customer in X amount of days. Now let's talk about your inbound phone calls, because these are sometimes forgotten as leads. A lot of times I'll ask a dealership, how many leads do you get a month? And they forget about their inbound phone calls. Those are still leads. That's a person who took the time to pick up the phone and call the store. These leads are harder to convert than internet leads, because in this situation, you essentially have zero information on the customer. You don't have first name, last name, phone number. You're going to have to work a little bit harder to get these customers to trust you enough to give you their contact information. Don't just go for it. Don't ask for contact information in the first 30 seconds of an inbound call. Oh, by the way, my name is Maggie and yours is, in case we get disconnected. Don't do stuff like that. Inbound phone calls and rapport building is a lot like dating. You're not going to go on a first date with someone at the end, go, hey, you want to marry me? And think about the level of commitment it is to purchase a vehicle. It is obviously not as serious as marriage. However, easily comparable, because you're not going to start off a date by proposing to your date. And that is what giving contact information is. It's personal. They don't have to give you their information. It's your job to create a reason for them to feel comfortable enough to provide the information to you willingly. That is where rapport building comes in. Check out my podcast on that, because there's a lot of great information there on how to do this. But if you handle this first phone call correctly, you should have a lot less follow-up calls. But sometimes it doesn't work out. Sometimes we try all of our objection handling techniques, and no matter what we do, we can't get the customer to commit to an appointment. That's normal. It's okay. It's going to happen. So what do? Put them on your follow-up rotation based on their excuse. So let's say, oh, I have to check my work schedule. And you say, okay, no problem. Why don't we do this? You know, we get super busy down here. I know how valuable your time is. My advice would be for us to pick a day and time now, and if you check your schedule and it doesn't work, it's not a problem. Just give me a call. I'll find you a better day and time. I do have openings today or tomorrow, which is most likely going to work. And the customer goes, you know what? I'd rather just call you back. No problem. Let me shoot you a text message with my contact information. Again, my name is Maggie. And what we can do is go ahead and follow up from there. So this is a scenario where your customer has pushed back on your tentative, you've asked twice for the appointment, you've done all the right things, and they still don't want it. So what would you do? Well, at the very end of the call, after you've given out your contact info, you've confirmed their email, you've discussed where the dealership is located, because again, remember, a lot of these people just show up even after they decline your appointment. Then you're going to establish follow-up. So say something like, okay, Gina, so once again, you're going to go ahead and give me a call after you have checked your schedule. If I don't hear back from you by the end of the day tomorrow, I'll just try to give you a call and kind of see where things are at in your process. I look forward to talking to you tomorrow and I hope you have a great rest of your day. Something like that. Then set yourself a task to call the customer tomorrow, maybe 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, somewhere towards the end of the day. Then you also have the option around noon, if you haven't heard from them, to shoot a text. Hey, Gina, this is Maggie from ABC Motors. Just wondering if you had a chance to check your schedule. If so, let me know what day and time might work best for you. Otherwise, I'll give you a call a little bit later today. And then if you don't hear back, make that phone call, leave that voicemail. And then the next day, same kind of concept, but I'm going to flip-flop. I might call in the morning and send a text in the afternoon. At the end of that second day, if I still haven't heard back, I'm going to do it one more day. And then after that, I'm going to put them onto a daily follow-up rotation until their lead hits the 7-day mark. And then I'm going to decide from there what I want to do with it based on the information that I have. Just remember, when you do outbound unsold follow-up calls, you always want to have new information for the customer. So don't just call and be like, hey, what's up? Obviously, you want to have new information. I am not a fan of asking if you're still in the market for a vehicle. In fact, I have heard fresh internet lead phone calls. Like, they're calling the customer within 5 minutes of the lead and they go, are you still in the market for a vehicle? Well, of course you are. So don't say that. Instead, I like to say, how's your vehicle search going? But make it personal. Hey, Gina, this is Maggie calling from ABC Motors. We spoke last Wednesday. Hi, yeah, I was calling to see how is your vehicle search going? Pause. This is going to give the customer the opportunity to tell you what's happening in their situation, if they've purchased, etc., and then you can control the conversation from there. Are you still in the market for a vehicle is a yes or no question. You have boxed yourself in.
We're not trying to do that. We're trying to open things up so we can figure out how to help this customer.
Now, the third type of lead you're going to get are those people that walk in but don't buy. And this happens quite a bit. So what you really want to try to make sure that you do with these particular customers is try to figure out at that point in time what the actual objection is. When they walk off the lot, why didn't they buy? Is it financially related? Maybe you guys just didn't mesh well. And in that case, I would try to find another salesperson to help or get your sales manager involved so we can still make the sale and get the deal done. But what was it that prevented us from selling the car? Maybe we didn't offer them enough for their trade. Either way, always try to find a solution before you pick up the phone and call the customer. That way, when you get them on the phone, you can easily go over the different options and solutions that you have. This way you can say something like, hey, Gina, this is Maggie calling from ABC Motors. When you were here in the office last Wednesday, you were looking at our 2017 Camry. How is your vehicle search going? And then let the customer respond. If they say, oh, I was really into it, but I didn't have enough money down, we can say, well, we do have additional options available, etc., etc. There's always a reason to contact the customer. And if you don't have one off the top of your head, then work on trying to create one because it is possible for us to do that.
And then my last piece of advice pertaining to follow-up calls of any sort, regardless of the type of customer that it was, is to always turn whatever reason or excuse that they have for not coming in or not buying and take that and make that an appointment. Make that a reason to come in. If a customer says, well, I was really interested in the Camry, but I didn't have enough cash, maybe we have other Camrys that are available for less money down or a less monthly payment, things along those lines. So sometimes you want to think outside the box and say, well, I do understand that, you know, finances are a concern for you. I think the best thing for us to do is to have you come back in. Let's take a look at the different vehicle options that we have available that do meet your budget, and we'll do everything we can to try to find something for you from there. Because a lot of times that doesn't happen. Customer service does tend to get lost kind of in the mix, especially during a follow-up situation, because we kind of forget about the fact that we want to still try to woo this customer or date them, if you will, in an aspect of trying to still say to them, look, these are the reasons why you'd want to buy something from us. And these are the reasons why you should come in and take a look at what we have to offer. So I just think all too often we forget about paying attention to the customer's needs and then finding what their issue is and then providing a solution for it. Because that's what sales is. That's what selling a car is all about, is, helping the customer determine what issues they're experiencing now and how we can fix that, how we can solve their problems. So just remember, when it comes to follow-up, let's make sure that we're doing it. Let's make sure that we're sticking to contacting those customers. Mix up your times of days that you're contacting them and do heavy follow-up for the first week or so. And then after that, you can kind of taper off. The first 3 days are really when you want to try to call them at least twice a day. Only leave one message, as I said before. And really do everything that you can to use text, email, and the phone to your advantage to help you get what you need from the customer, which is a sale in most cases. Now, the other thing just to kind of think about is once you get past that initial follow-up, I do recommend still putting these customers on some sort of follow-up rotation, whether that be 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, what have you. Also, use your email and your text messaging campaigns to help you draw attention to the store at various times as well. If you do sales or promotions, or maybe you're holding an adoption event for puppies, things along those lines, that's also stuff that we should text and let the community know about. Even if a customer didn't buy something from you, it doesn't mean that they may not be interested in one of these promotions that you have, or may have a friend that might be interested in them. And remember, referrals are the best way to grow your business as well. So don't forget all of those tips and tricks. I hope this really helps you when it comes to follow-up, because I know there's a lot of gray area here. A lot of people have their opinions and their advice, and I still say, even with all the information that I have given you, you still need a good solid phone call. And in addition to that, I still think you should do what works best for your business, because every demographic is going to be just a little bit different, along with every area. So depending on where you live, you know, geographically, it's going to matter as well. Not every customer is the same in every single state. They don't all respond the exact same. So you do have to take your, you know, location into consideration when you're developing a follow-up plan. And there's nobody that says you have to do just one thing. You can try different things at any time to help you get the message across to your customer that you're here to help. And then when you find something that works, stick with it. I think I'm going to do a separate podcast though on text messages and emails, because that's another topic that we discuss kind of heavily with clients. And it seems to be something where there's a lot of gray area where people don't understand what's the best way for me to reach out to customers. What should my text messages and my emails say? So I think we'll save that for another day so that this one doesn't get too long. I just want to remind you that Compliance Unleashed is coming up. It is going to be May 20th through the 22nd at the Embassy Suites at the DFW Airport North. So make sure that you are there. There's a lot of great speakers. Melanie, my dear friend Melanie Goldman, is going to be there, and she is going to be speaking. I'm going to be speaking with Richard, which I'm super excited about, and it's called Undercover Compliance: Mystery Shopping is a Secret Weapon for Compliance, and that's going to be Tuesday, May 21st from 2:30 to 3:15 in the main ballroom, so don't miss it. You can find more information by going to complianceunleashed.com, and you can register there. You don't want to miss this. Like I said, bring your team. I highly recommend that you go, and thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Elevate with CNM Coaching. I will see you real soon. Hope you have a great rest of your day.